We heard this morning from the prophet Zechariah, from a long poem he has about the return from exile and the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple and rebuilding of the line of David. And he says something somewhat surprising. Normally we think of conquering kings as having powerful armies and the right kinds of weapons. In those days, horses and chariots. But he says, your savior, your king, will come riding on a donkey. You know, normally conquering heroes in those days would have been on a mighty horse, not on a donkey. And this is a kind of a nod to David, because David was a shepherd boy, called out of the fields, and he never rode a horse. He only rode a donkey. But his son Solomon, who was wealthy and powerful and corrupt, he introduced horses and chariots to Israel's army. So it's a bit of a slam to Solomon. But his point is, if you're really going to be from the line of David, you have to come from humble origins, and you have to become weak, not through strength necessarily, but almost through weakness. And Jesus, of course, fulfills all the Old Testament prophecies. And we can't help but think here, Jesus coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And when the Synoptic Gospel writers wrote those texts, they had this passage that we just heard in mind. The Savior King from the line of David is going to come to his royal city riding on a donkey. There's something about God who rules the universe, who is the author of it all and the end of it all. He is the Alpha and the Omega. But unlike most earthly kings who rule from above and exercise their power and their authority from above, Jesus does it from below. He takes the last place. He takes on our humanity with all of its weakness, with all of its temptations, even the death. And the worst kind of death, death on the cross. He takes the last place. He saves the world from under the world, not from over it. So Zechariah had it left. All those centuries before Christ, he had this intuition, probably inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the way God rules isn't from a position of power and authority, but from a position of servanthood, from below. And then Jesus in that gospel says, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have not revealed this to the proud and the strong and the clever and the learned, but to the merest children, to the ignorant, to those who would never be able to figure this out on their own. It's revelation. This is not human wisdom that comes from philosophy and erudite human thinking. This is revelation from God. And that's what we believe about our whole faith tradition, that the Bible is revealed by God. This is God's revealed word. And that Christ is the word. He is the revelation of who God is. And it comes from below. It comes to the merest children. It comes to the ignorant and the outsiders. And who does Jesus hang around with most? The marginalized, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and these poor fishermen who are his disciples. This changes everything about the way we see reality. When you start seeing reality from God's point of view, you start seeing it from below instead of from above. And we humans, because we're so human, we love to think of God as a powerful God, as the Almighty. We say, Lord Almighty. remember who we really are as God's church, to remember that we have been invited through the power of the Spirit into a share in his suffering and death, and therefore shares in his resurrection and in his life and in his divinity and in his glory. St. Paul says, if the Spirit has raised Jesus from the dead, then we know that our mortal bodies have taken on divinity, have taken on life. Life in that infinite sense. Not just life for a few years. Not just life in the way that things live and die and something else takes their place here in this world. But life. Infinite life. Eternal life. Divine life. Sharing the glory of Christ. You have to be in the Spirit to get that. You have to sign yourself in that font over and over again, that dying and rising, that paschal mystery of which we are a part. You have to immerse yourself in that mystery over and over again because the world is telling us a completely opposite message. The world thinks that anybody who is weak is a fool. The world thinks that if you're not number one, you're nothing. If you're not protected, if you're not controlled, self-controlled, if you're not self-determining, you're a loser. And we look at the picture of a loser, the biggest loser of all time, hanging on a cross. But he's the winner of all time. The cross is resurrection. The cross, which is the instrument of his horrible death, is also the throne of his glory. And we immerse ourselves in this paschal mystery every Sunday to remind ourselves that that's not just his story, it's our story as well. This is who we are. We are members of his body, sharing his